Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the Radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content, let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
Well, I think he's got a lot of hand movement. I've never seen so much hand movement. I said, is he crazy, or is that just the way he acts?
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Good afternoon. It's a beautiful day in St. Louis. The weather perhaps saving our sanity just a little bit. Dave Klein back in the studio. This is Mark Reardon in the High Ridge studio once again this afternoon. Dave, I want different music. Let's play the Curb Your Enthusiasm music because we're going to start. I've been trying to do this every once in a while because we're in a sea of negativity, right? I love Larry David. I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. Curb is one of those shows. I just watched the entire season. Klein, you're still behind, aren't you?
Still behind.
Shameful. Shameful.
I know.
It's outstanding, and it's one of those shows, and I think Dave and I have talked about this before, I could actually go back and just watch the whole season again. Part of the reason is I am Larry David. Some of you might be Larry David. I love his quirkiness. Here is his message right now, very appropriate.
Hello, I'm Larry David. Obviously, somebody put me up to this because it's generally not the kind of thing I do, but I basically want to address the idiots out there, and you know who you are. You're going out. I don't know what you're doing. You're socializing too close. It's not good. You're hurting old people like me. Well, not me. I have nothing to do with you. I'll never see you. But, you know, other old people who might be your relatives. Who the hell knows? But the problem is you're passing up a fantastic opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to stay in the house, sit on the couch, and watch TV. I mean, I don't know how you're passing that up. Well, maybe because you're not that bright, but here it is. Go home, watch TV. That's my advice to you. You know, if you've seen my show, nothing good ever happens going out of the house.
Nope,
you know that.
It does not.
There's
nope.
Just trouble out there. It's not a good place to be. So stay home and... You know, don't see anyone, except maybe if there's a plumbing emergency, let the plumber in and then, you know, wipe everything down after he leaves. But that's it. Okay.
I think those are words to live by from Larry David. I'm pretty sure that Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, tweeted that out just as a moment of levity. But he is right. And I'm telling you, if those of you out there who have never seen Curb Your Enthusiasm, watch it. If you have a dry, wry sense of humor, if you like snark, if you don't like that, if you don't like to laugh, if you don't like funny, if you're easily offended, then do not watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. But if you like stuff like that, he is absolutely brilliant. One of the things I love about Larry David in this past season is a perfect example. He is not afraid to go anywhere. In fact, and I wanted to talk with Dave about this, but he's not caught up. There is one episode, I can't remember, it was the second to last, third to last of the season, and he does something that even I gasped at. I'm like, oh, did he really do that? And he did, and it still worked in a comedic way. For those of you wondering what that was, it involved the New York Jets. That's all I'm going to tell you. If you've seen the show, you know exactly what I mean. And I did think, at first, I thought, wow, did he finally go too far? And he didn't, because he is a brilliant, brilliant comic, and he has Great instincts. All right, so as we do that, because we're going to get into doom and gloom and all the numbers and all those things this afternoon, but we're going to keep it light to a certain extent also. And I'm very excited this afternoon because I heard from my good buddy Uncle Ted. Ted Nugent reached out, and he is going to come on hopefully tomorrow or Friday. He's got some things on his mind, so that's good. And then there's Kenny Wallace, and I love Kenny. He's become a good friend. He's putting videos out on Instagram and Twitter, and he's full of positivity. We had him on last week just because I felt like we needed a positive voice, and Kenny's doing it again. This is one of his videos from yesterday afternoon on Twitter.
I'm very angry when I hear people seek out all the negative stuff. What we should be saying is, hey man, when we get done with this, everything's gonna kick ass. When we get done with this, I'm never gonna take my freedom for granted again. When we get done with this, I'm going to go, you know, I'm still going to practice, you know, social distancing. When we get done with this, we should be thinking when we get done with this, we're going to be better. You know, listen, my brother Rusty taught me years ago, Herm, we hope for the best, we prepare for the worst, right? I look at this deal like insurance. We all got to have insurance, but we never used to. We have insurance in case stuff happens. We don't live every day hoping that we wreck and we get to use our insurance. Everything's going to be fine. Remember this. Everybody's in the same situation right now. Everything is the exact same. All right. I love you. I love you!
He does. He's being sincere. I love him, too. Kenny Wallace, race car driver extraordinaire. Great Cardinals guy. Great Blues guy. St. Louis fan overall and just full of positivity and immensely entertaining. So I had to get that this afternoon. By the way, I don't know that we're all going through the same thing because New York is going through a lot more than the rest of the country, and the rest of the country is trying to avoid what New York is going through. My buddy Alex Rich, who works at the station, he's one of our great sales guys. We've had him on many times just because he's a bit of a millennial and he represents that generation. I guess we can say well. But he's been posting things on his Instagram and Facebook page, and he's got his guitar, and he's singing. I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm going to actually give him some props because this sounds pretty good. He was covering a John Mayer song here. Adapting it, if you will.
Me and all my friends are just stuck at home alone. Only way to communicate is by picking up the telephone.
There you go.
Social distancing around the world. The only thing that can defeat it, but with the help from all the doctors, we're gonna rise above and beat it. So we keep staying at a 6-foot range. We keep on staying.
That's pretty good. I gotta give props where props are due to Alex Rich doing a little John Mayer twist on social distancing. So that was fun. What else did I find? Oh yeah, Samuel L. Jackson. Now this is the. I would like to say that this show is often PG-13 rated. Sometimes I get clipped by parents who say, why didn't you warn us that that was coming up? So there's a little PG-13 stuff coming up here. Adam Mansbach and Ricardo Cortez released a children's book for adults, which was called Go the F to Sleep. And a few years ago, it was famously read on YouTube by Samuel L. Jackson. So he was on with Jimmy Kimmel via Skype or Zoom or whatever we're all using right now. And there is a bit of an update to the book. I mean, this is a new book, but it's certainly appropriate. It is Stay the Blank at Home. Here's Samuel L. reading from that new book.
The Rona is spreading. This is no joke. It's no time to work or roam. The way you can fight it is simple, my friends. Just stay the at home. Now, technically, I'm not a doctor, but listen when I read a poem. So here I am imploring you, keep your ass at home. If you want things to get back to normal, don't panic. Just use your dome. Wash your hands, stop touching your face, and stay the f- at home. It's no time to gamble. Look around. You're not at a casino. Just stay the f- home as if your name was Trenton Quarantino.
That's pretty good. You know, I remember 4 or 5 weeks ago when all this started, I made mention of the fact that Seth Rogen on Twitter said, I think all I do is touch my face. And I'm sort of that person too, mainly because I have a beard and I've kind of rocked the beard for the last few years and you're always touching it. But even now when I'm trying not to touch my face, I'm There you go. Thanks, Dave. I'm finding myself with way too much face touching. And I heard this crazy stat from Dr. Mark Siegel earlier. I mean, even in just a minute's time, we touch our face way too much on average. And then I'll leave you with this story before we get to the break. I'll kind of tell you what's going on this afternoon. We do have the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, my buddy Eric Schmidt, coming up here this afternoon. We'll talk about some of the things that are happening with the prisoner releases and things along those lines. So we have, hang on a second, because I'm looking at my schedule. I've mentioned this a couple of times. I'm popping around on the computer. It's out of my regular comfort zone. So he'll talk about Kim Gardner's prison release choices, things along those lines. We have an update on Metro, how they're handling everything. There's some interesting things going on along the Mississippi River related to the coronavirus. And then I mentioned Kenny. He's going to join us at the end of the show with more positivity this afternoon as well. But listen to this story before we get to the break. This is not one of those feel-good stories. I'd like to think that there are people out there, and I offer this up as an example for those people who would ever consider doing this. You would hope that this is a random, isolated incident. It's from Green Cove Springs, Florida, Clay County. And there's a nurse down there who is on the front lines against COVID-19. So she has an RV. It's a big RV, one of those big buses that you might see, you know, a musician travel around in. And they own one in her family. So she brought it into her neighborhood, into her driveway, in case she needed to self-quarantine. So her name is Sarah Lynch. She's a clinical nurse coordinator for a hospital out there in this area in Florida. And her homeowners association sent her a note basically saying that you're going to get fined $100 a day, up to $1,000 if you leave it there. So here's a nurse who is on the front line. She's got a special needs daughter at home. And she's thinking, you know what, this is actually a pretty good idea. If I need to self-isolate, I'm going to put the RV. Now, I'll open this up to the possibility that the HOA did not know she was a nurse or something along those lines, and that there wasn't a conversation. That's the problem with letters like this and fines and threats, because I'm guessing the homeowners association or whoever was so bored, sometimes the people, no offense to those of you who are presidents of HOA, because usually you're in that position because nobody else wants it, and I can appreciate that, but sometimes people in those HOAs tend to be kind of bossy, and hopefully this is one of those situations where there's flexibility. It's just beyond ridiculous that the HOA sent a letter like that. We will take a break. Hey, by the way, don't forget tomorrow, we're going to act like it's still the home opener for the Cardinals, and we have a bunch of baseball special programming, including I'm off the air tomorrow at 4 o'clock because we're going to do some Cardinals related stuff in the 4 o'clock hour, leading to some baseball tomorrow night from 2011. So a lot to come this afternoon. The Attorney General Eric Schmidt next. He's on deck on KMOX.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
I'm curious to see how this is going to end up. We were tasked with making a little video. Those of us who work in the building at Entercom St. Louis, the people on the air, not only at KMOX, but also 97.1 KZK, Y98, 96.3. Am I forgetting anyone? I don't think. I think I got everyone in there. And we're throwing the baseball to different people on the staff. So I was in my backyard throwing the baseball to somebody else that I received the baseball from on video. And we're going to edit these all together. I won't tell you who I'm throwing to, but I'll just tell you this. Klein, are you listening right now?
Yep.
There's one that involves our friend Trish Gazelle that if this doesn't make a blooper reel, I'm going to be very disappointed. I think what we need to do, I think Sam from our digital department is going to edit these, and he's got to do some bloopers because the bloopers might be better than the actual video, but we'll see.
I can remember her a few years ago when she threw out the first pitch and she was kind of nervous, so I'm kind of anxious to see this.
Yeah. Ooh, anxious would be a word maybe I wouldn't use. Frightened would be a better word. But thank you, Dave. Hey, the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, the official state office holder of the Mark Reardon Show, Eric Schmidt, is with me this afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. How you doing?
I'm guessing, I mean, look, we got to just talk about the obvious outside of everything else. The amount of disappointment that there's not baseball in St. Louis tomorrow pretty much supersedes everything right now.
Yeah, no kidding. I might just listen to Here Comes the King, you know, on a loop tomorrow or something to make me feel better about it. But, yeah, a lot of things on hold nowadays. So,
Well, we're doing this thing. If you want to put some gear on and do a hashtag my home opener, we're going to be tweeting those out and putting them on social media. We're asking people to dress up like they're still at the games. All right, so there's some serious stuff going on right now, and we're seeing the release of prisoners from all over the country in some cases. I raised this question a few weeks ago because I did think that the prison population would be in jeopardy if this starts to spread through. But then the other question is, who exactly is getting released back into the population? And you're asking our circuit attorney here in St. Louis to give you some information, aren't you?
We are, because nobody really knows right now. And it's really troubling. I mean, what we do know and what we were able to uncover as an office were over 130 folks who had been released. And we sent a letter. I sent a letter to Kim Gardner yesterday saying, hey, we need a list that needs to be updated, because here's just 10 examples of inmates who've been charged with violent crimes who've been released. And, you know, the circuit attorney's office and the public defenders are working together and complicit in this and having these people released. And in a time where it's very uncertain and people are dealing with a lot of stress, the last thing they need to know is that their public safety might be in jeopardy because, again, people charged with violent crimes are being released out on the streets. And by the way, the victims aren't even being given notice. So you have people who literally have, and just to give you some example, a guy who was robbing a cab driver and shot at him, a guy who held up a restaurant at gunpoint. These are some of the examples of people who have been released, and the circuit attorney's been complicit with that. So our letter was, hey, the public deserves to know you've not released this list, and so they deserve the truth.
Well, so she fired back at you. She criticized you because she claims that you made the accusations in the media before getting a response from her. So she says, I'm deeply disappointed in the inaccuracy of your correspondence and your obvious effort to politicize matters of public safety during this time of crisis in our city and state. And she says she never consented to the release of violent criminals or any person that would knowingly make our city safe or expose victims to danger. How would you respond to that?
Well, a couple of points. First, she got the letter before anybody else did. Secondly, she's not come clean with the public, which is why we had to write the letter in the first place. The idea that the attorney general actually has to ask the circuit attorney to make these lists public is a bit concerning. And this is all a matter of public record. You can go into those court files and see victims weren't being notified. She's perfectly fine, or her office is perfectly fine in working with the public defender for these specific examples, even just the 10 that we gave of people who've been charged with violent crimes are now on the streets. Some instances already where the condition was come get your GPS tracking, and they haven't even come back for that already. So there's a lot of accountability that needs to be asked for here from the circuit attorney, because ultimately people's, you know, health and safety is on the line. And I wouldn't be doing my job as the attorney general, the state's chief law enforcement official, if I wasn't asking these questions. And by the way, if it's happened anywhere else, we've got concern for that too. We just happen to know what's going on in the city. We happen to know who some of these people are, and it raises a bunch of questions.
But you're asking her to cooperate. Doesn't sound like she's going to.
Well, we haven't. Look, all she has to do is produce the list, right? Produce the list. She announced that she and the public defender had agreed on 50-something people. We don't know who those people are. We've identified over 100. We don't know if that list matches up with her list. There's just a lot of unanswered questions. So the ball is really in her court. And look, you know me, I'm more than willing to work with anybody and be cooperative. But the truth of the matter is, in a public health crisis like the one that we're in right now, the last thing people need to be worried about is that individuals who've been charged with violent crimes, including people who with assault, allegations of child sexual abuse, are roaming the streets now because the circuit attorney wouldn't object or consented to this, is really unfathomable. So we're just looking for answers. The ball's in her court.
Is any of this happening in other cities in the state, Kansas City, Springfield area, along the same lines or not?
That we're aware of. Now, look, I think that some prosecutors are working with public defenders and judges for, you know, the release of some minor offenders. That's not minor offenders. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about are specific examples of people who've been charged with violent crimes, felonies in some examples, and she has not come clean with who these people are. So in her response, she's, you know, vague and general denials, but we're looking for some specifics here. The public has a right to know. We're just asking for questions, and I happen to be the person that enforces the Sunshine Law in the state. So this kind of transparency, I think, is really important, so that people know that they're safe.
Do you think it's unreasonable, though, to take a look at some of these cases who, you know, might not? Because, look, the reality is if this starts to get into a prison population, we're going to see this. I think we already are in some states. That is a potential disaster. I'm not advocating for releasing prisoners, but this is maybe one of the more unique challenges that we have throughout all this.
Look, there are a lot of new issues that are being dealt with now with COVID-19. I mean, this is unprecedented. And I think that there's a lot of fair debate to have about a lot of things. But when we're talking about inmates who've been charged with violent crimes, they should not be released. This should not be happening, Mark. I mean, I think this is just sort of common sense. It's mind-blowing to me, actually, that I have to raise these issues.
Well, you know, look, in the case, when she wrote back to you, the case of Mozia Withers, who was released, robbery in the first degree, armed criminal action, the case that they make, I guess, in granting the motion is that there are conditions. So he has to stay confined in the home of, and the name of the address is redacted, not have any contact with the victim, stay away from the Central West End neighborhood. But look, how do you monitor any of that?
Right. Well, there's already some examples of people not coming back to get their GPS monitoring device. Littered through these files are very clear indications that victims were never notified. So you have a very recent attack on an individual. That person is now being released. They're not even being given notice. And so we just look, have a full accounting, open it up to the public, let there be a debate about this. But this can't be done in secrecy. And under no circumstances, in my view, should people charged with violent crimes be released like this. It's just not in the interest of public safety.
Attorney General Eric Schmidt, thanks for coming on this afternoon. Keep on top of it. Let us know if there are further developments for sure. And try to, I know you're going to wear Cardinals gear tomorrow, so hashtag my home opener and send us a shot.
All right. Take care, Mark.
All right, take care. 2:30 at KMOX. We'll come back after Carol has all the top stories. Nothing so far about a task force hearing or at least news conference this afternoon. Usually happens in the 4 o'clock hour or beyond. We'll keep you posted on that. It's 2:30.
Coronavirus. Get the facts. Join the discussion. News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
The Dow is down 1,015, 20,900. The open wasn't very good. The futures were down about 800, and that pretty much played itself out throughout the course of the day. You have hopefully a coronavirus task force briefing this afternoon. We'll see if we can get to that in the 4 o'clock hour. They have not announced it, but they tend to announce those things very late. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I heard from my buddy Ted Nugent today. I have not, you know, I was thinking about this. I took Jane Duker to see Uncle Ted when he came to, which one was it? It was one of the casinos, River City. I think he did River City about a year and a half ago. And that was almost, well, I guess June, July would be 2 years. And that's the last time I even spoke with Uncle Ted. So he's going to come on tomorrow. He's got some thoughts and we'll hopefully share those with you in the 2 o'clock tomorrow. 2:30 to 3 o'clock is what I'm shooting for. So we'll see what happens. One of the questions that has come up for a lot of people, how is Metro handling the crisis right now? Toby Roach, the Bi-State Development President and CEO with us this afternoon. Toby, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I see some folks waiting for buses, and I haven't really been to any of the Metrolink stations or passed by because we're all hunkering down in our homes, but everything is operating currently?
Yes, everything is operating. We certainly are having an effect on ridership. We're down about 40% right now. The benefit of that, however, it is allowing for a little bit more space on our vehicles, so a little bit more appropriate social distancing.
So I don't really, you know, even in covering some of the bigger cities, Los Angeles, New York, Boston, et cetera, I don't know how they're handling public transportation. I mean, are they still operating in these hotspots as well?
Yes. So we have seen our colleagues across the country still operating. And, you know, it's really fundamental why. I mean, for instance, I take the train just about every single day. And, for instance, this morning on the Blue Line, that's typically the train I take in. I would say, yes, we have a reduced load with people doing appropriate distancing. But I would say probably 50% of those folks have scrubs on and are going to the medical campus. And, you know, these are the folks that we still need to get out, still need to get to their jobs so that St. Louis still operates.
So the sanitizing process, what is it on the buses and the trains right now?
Sure. So every single night we take all of our rolling stock into the shop. We do a full sanitation of that, and that includes with CDC-approved COVID-19 disinfectants. We have added an extra step of a fogging agent that we have gotten called Tryvac, and we do that in all of the vehicles nightly. Now, one good benefit about the slightly modified schedule, so we did modify our schedule and pared back our service just slightly, and the benefit of that is that we're able to bring in our rolling stock at midday for an additional cleaning. So a lot of times at the end of routes for buses and also at the Ewing shop for the light rail vehicles.
You know, I think one of the concerns about this virus from a lot of folks is that it apparently does stay on surfaces a lot longer than maybe we thought. I'm even hearing a little bit more about it becoming airborne. So for people riding trains, buses, you know, you're used to holding the poles or just hanging on when the trains are moving. So I'm guessing that people maybe are taking it upon themselves to disinfect and do some of those things as well.
Yeah, there's no question. And look, these concerns are legitimate. We have to all take them very seriously, and we certainly have been at Metro. So taking those extra steps, doing the social distancing, a lot of the riders that I've seen out on the system, they're wearing, even our customers themselves, wearing gloves, wearing masks, certainly appropriate behavior, and we will support it. And then, for instance, our own drivers, who, by the way, I think they're the heroes in this. They all showed up for that shift this morning at 4:30 so that they could get out and still run service. And they're doing that. We're providing them with some PPE. We have gloves and we have wipes. We are limited with masks. We're working on that right now. And we're really want to try to support that driver corps who is showing up and doing the important work of St. Louis.
Tommy Roach, Bi-State Development President and CEO. Are you in regular communication with Sam Page, Latticruson, even the governor on these matters?
So, yes. As a matter of fact, I think I talked to both over this weekend, and what was really interesting, both Sam and Lida and Mark Kern, is they were concerned because I've also been talking to executive from the grocery industry, Dave Peacock in particular, about concerns of maintaining the food supply, because quite frankly, a lot of those folks who are stocking shelves and still doing the things that we need to get done in the city, they are getting there via Metro. And so these colleagues that we have are absolutely vital to getting things done. Honestly, I've been bolstered at our electeds at how much they've been working together and supporting our operation, being understanding when we're trying to be sure to maintain health integrity. We have to maintain health integrity. We're doing our best to do that. And this is quite a challenge.
Well, Talby, good luck with everything. Is there anything else you want people to know this afternoon for the folks who are riders, potential riders, no riders, just information-wise?
So, you know what I would really just ask everybody to do is I would thank those operators who are still out there and our union friends at ATU 788. Those folks are doing the hard work right now. They're the ones who are really out there every day. And if you happen to see them, just thank them for driving that light rail vehicle or bus today. I'd appreciate that.
All right, Talby, keep us posted. Thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Very good, Mark. Anytime.
2:43 at the Voice of St. Louis. We'll take a break. I got one story that just really, really nags at me about a guy out east who has a store that got robbed. It was basically one of these smoke shops, convenience stores, got robbed on Sunday, and the police are charging one of his employees because they tried to defend themselves. Pretty outrageous. That's coming up on KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Walking through my living room last night, I think I was letting one of my dogs out, and I noticed that Tucker Carlson had a guest on who was the owner of a smoke shop in Virginia. And the story that he was telling, Johan Zuber is his name, is kind of amazing because somebody broke into his shop over the weekend. His employees defended the shop, but listen to what happens.
They broken into the store, three men with masks on. The neighbor upstairs said when they broke the window, it sounded like a car smashing into the store. Hamza, the employee, he said it sounded like a shotgun. And when he woke up, he said he just reached for the pistol and opened the door and shot three times to scare them. and one of them hit the suspect. And what happened after that, when the police came, we thought we're in the right. Three masked men, 4:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning. How can we? So I was watching Hamza across the street with boxers on, with the tank top in cold weather, 40 degrees. The cops treating us like we're the ones who caused the harm. This is very sad for America today. As an American citizen, practicing Second Amendment to protect the store and the lives. And not only that, the people upstairs. Do you know what the police officers told him? Why didn't you run out the back door? And guess what? When they checked in the back door, there was a book bag with two rocks and a pole. And the pole, what they were going to do with that. And if he would have ran out the back, he would have met up with the three masked men. And there, he probably would have shot all three of them. Then what? He would do 60 years in jail?
So when I saw this story last night, I was listening to that. I'm always skeptical. And my... you know, I guess my red flag went up because I'm thinking this can't happen. This is impossible. So the police department out there says, and they're basically saying, we can't say a lot about this because there's the presumption of innocence, blah, blah, blah. But there's evidence that we are not at liberty to share that supports the charges. Now, I don't know what that evidence might be. They say that they will charge based on still developing facts. But here's what Hamza said.
We went to visit him to try to get him bond out, $25,000 bond out, and the prosecutor appealed it, so we got to go back tomorrow. And unfortunately, it's very sad that I heard him coughing very hard in jail, which makes me think you're supposed to keep people safe, keep people away from jail anywhere in one place so they don't get sick. This is very sad, practicing your rights in the United States of America. I was born in Arlington. I pay taxes. The gun is registered. Everything is perfect, but I can't believe as an American citizen, we are being treated like this. And this gives the criminals out there, hey, we could go rob stuff, kill people, hurt people, and guess what? People got to run out the back door. This is mind-boggling. I just can't understand it. I've been stressed. I've been reaching out. I've been getting so many support from Arlington community, from the veterans, from people. Many people are just coming to the store. They want to, like, hug me. They can't believe this is happening. What is this? I am honestly still in shock. We need justice. Yeah. I know Arlington County could really bring justice and show the American people that you are safe in your house. You could protect your house. What are people doing 4:30 a.m. when everybody knows they're supposed to be home? Whether and plus, we didn't know there were juveniles with masks on. Where are their parents? Or I don't understand this.
Yeah, it's very confusing. That's Johan Zuber. Hamza was the employee who was in the store and actually shot the suspect. It's baffling, and I don't know what the true story is, but we'll stay on top of that. It's 2:52. Jim Hogue is with me this afternoon from Minneapolis. He's the owner of Zero Res Carpet Cleaning. Jim, how are you?
I am great, Mark.
You are up in Minneapolis, so I have to ask you, is there still snow on the ground?
Well, you know, I'm looking out at a very, very small snowbank. Almost gone.
I have a relative, my wife's aunt is up in northern Wisconsin near Eagle River, and I was surprised, you know, just the other day over the weekend, I haven't looked at it in a couple of days, but there was still a significant amount of snowfall where she was. So
yeah,
not to rub it in, we've already been in the 80s down here in St. Louis.
I know you have. My son lives in St. Louis. He loves St. Louis.
Awesome. Well, look, let's get the word out because obviously you guys are still open for business, right?
We certainly are. Thankfully, we were given the essential status, and I think for very good reason. The CDC, you know, they just say, you've got to clean, clean, clean. Everything starts with how you clean. Even before you disinfect, you need to clean. And that's what we do. We're the highest rated cleaner by the Professional Testing Lab. It's a third-party organization, also by the Carpet and Rug Institute, another one. We're rated the highest. So we absolutely clean. And so that's why they gave us the essential status.
Now, Jim, have you changed anything since this all started, or is this just part of the process anyway, so it didn't really require any adjusting?
Well, yeah, we've modified a few of our protocols. We implemented a zero-res, zero-touch protocol so that we're appropriately socially distancing. So we might have to dance around a house kind of jockeying with our customers for position and to make sure that we've got the 6 feet minimum. We now wear gloves. We've always worn booties. We've always disinfected our equipment. But, of course, we continue with those things. But the process is the same. We've changed one thing with the process. With our duct cleaning, we do the great negative air duct cleaning method. And we also fog with a disinfectant. So, and we don't charge for the fogging at this time because it's great to start at a base zero with your ventilation system.
And you know, I always emphasize this is for commercial and residential, right?
It is. We do a significant amount of commercial cleaning, and this is a great time to do that while people are closed down, many businesses and. And we'd be happy to come in and get that cleaned up before you reopen. And it's really a pretty painless way to accomplish that right now.
Jim Hoag, the owner of Zero Res, with me this afternoon. What are your just general impressions? I mean, none of us have ever dealt with anything like this. And obviously, it's very surreal. You have to kind of put it into perspective, thinking about the sacrifices that other generations have made. But it's just bizarre.
It really is, and what a challenging time because we've got the safety of our valuable team to think about. We've got the safety of our customers to think about, and it's just, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, we were just talking about growing and spring is coming and just preparing for busy season, and all of a sudden, you know, 75% of the population is locked in their house. It's really, you're right. It's hard to wrap your arms around it and understand the implications to our economy and to our families.
Well, we will definitely send a little, warm weather your way in Minneapolis and try to get you warmed up because at least you can get outside and do things.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate that.
All right, Jim, take care. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mark.
That is Jim Hoag, the president of Zero Res Carpet Cleaning. By the way, if you want to give him a call and get the carpets or anything else cleaned, they can do the ductwork and everything else as well. 20% off this month, 474-2020 from Zero Res Carpet Cleaning. We'll come back after the top of the hour. Carol's been off the last couple of days. She had a birthday on Friday. We'll chat with her just a little bit and then a whole lot more in the 3 o'clock hour. My buddy Kenny Wallace, some positivity at 3:30 this afternoon on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.